This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Oh, it is? Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. Hey, Buster, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Great to talk with you.
I just love that Houston stadium. Maybe it's because the Astros is good, is good really right now, but I'm watching, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, and that's a fun place to watch a baseball game, it seems like.
It is a fun place to watch a baseball game. I got to admit that my perspective is completely skewed by my selfishness, where I'm just focused on, okay, what's the best place to get your work done? And the Astros ballpark is outstanding because you move around really easily, go from clubhouse to clubhouse. And on top of that, I have found the Astros players, the position players in particular, to be so great to deal with. You know, whether it's a Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, George Springer, I had a great time covering them through their postseason run last year.
Houston gets a win last night, but they're still a game back of the Seattle Mariners. Do we believe in Seattle without Robinson Cano?
It's very well established that whatever I say about the Mariners, they do the opposite. Like, I picked them in 2016 to make it to the World Series against the Cubs, and that didn't work out so well. I'm absolutely stunned by how well they're playing in the face of all these injuries and problems that they've had. As you say, losing Robinson Cano, and I do still believe that in the end, the Astros' strength will manifest with a great rotation. And I think that run differential in this case is a better truer barometer of which is the better team. I think the Astros are, well, they're number one in baseball, like plus 125, and the Mariners are about plus 30 at this point. But, give the Mariners credit, their general manager, Jerry Dipoto, credit for doing everything they can with what they have, which is a lot less than what the Astros have.
ESPN's Buster Olney is with us. You can follow him on Twitter, at BusterESPN. He joins us each week, courtesy of Ernest McCarty Ford, off Highway 31 in Alabaster. I saw this poll question from you earlier this week. You mentioned that you've got the Mets Yankees Sunday Night Baseball coming up this Sunday. And you said if the Major League Baseball expands to 32 teams with an equal number on both leagues, would you like Interleague to continue? The thing that jumped out at me is you talking about expansion. Is that an active talk right now? And if so, where?
I wouldn't say it's on the front burner, but it is hot on the back burner. I think they have to, you know, baseball feels like that it needs to settle the stadium situations, ballpark situations for the Rays and for the Oakland Athletics. There's some degree of confidence that they've made a lot of progress with the Rays. There's less confidence, I think, with Oakland. But I do think that in the next 3 or 4 years that they will be actively having conversations. And keep in mind, you know, part of the attraction for the other owners for expanding is they get a big check when these two other teams will come in. I think Portland is going to be in the middle of it. They actually have put together a group that Russell Wilson is a part of. The expectation is that Phil Knight, who's the head of Nike, would be heavily involved in that. Because when you look at the landscape of teams, I think Portland would be a natural twin for the Mariners, and I'm biased. I think Nashville should have an expansion team. I think it's absolutely a natural place to go, given the fact that when you look at the teams in the Midwest, in the South, Nashville's like the map dot right in the middle of all those places, and it's now a major league city with the Predators and the Titans. And it has such incredible growth in recent years. I think Nashville would be a great spot. But, because I lived there for 8 years, because I went there for college, I'm biased on that.
Well, I will tell you that as a Rays fan, I have said since they had stadium problems that I've thought for years, about 4 years now, and Brown will attest to this, that I've always thought Tampa should have moved to Nashville. So I agree with you about the passion I think that city would have for a baseball franchise. Buster's with us now talking about everything going on in the major leagues. Jason Hayward's walk-off home run last night was a great moment. I don't know how many people saw it with the NBA Finals going on, but I was watching it, and this Cubs team seems to be getting some momentum. Where does Hayward fit in with that Cubs lineup going down the stretch here?
Well, if he hits like he has recently, then he's going to be a regular, in part because of how much money they're paying him. I mean, they owe him, you know, about $22 million, $23 million for the next 5 years. So he's always going to have an advantage, and he's a terrific defender. He's a terrific base runner. He's tremendous in the clubhouse. He's a great guy. The whole question is his hitting mechanics, and can he work through some things? A few years ago, I bumped into a major league pitcher at a baggage claim in spring training, and for whatever reason, we started talking about Hayward and his swing, and this pitcher demonstrated to me that when Jason swings a bat, if you imagine him as a left-handed hitter, he turns his left wrist inward at the beginning of a swing. And if you do that, you can feel how locked in you get. And he said to me, he said, once he does that, it's over. Like, you're never going to be a consistent hitter as long as you have that habit of turning your wrist inward at the outset of your swing. And, you know, I know that they've talked to him about this. I know that they've worked through it. He's had stretches in the past where it's worked for him better. And he's one of those guys you root for. And I agree with you about the Cubs. It feels like they're gathering momentum. The big thing is they have to get more consistency from their number four and five starters. Yu Darvish, to this point, has been a mess. And Tyler Chatwood, who they gave $38 million to over 3 years, has had a real hard time finding the strike zone.
Buster, our Dodgers 14-5 over the last 3 weeks, just two games back in the NL West. Now, Matt Kemp really keeping the lineup together. If the Dodgers are to win the NL West, could we start to make a conversation for Matt Kemp, MVP?
He would be in the conversation. You know, my instinct is that other guys probably, given his age, given a relative age of other candidates, he probably would fall behind other guys. But, look, he absolutely at this point would be the number one candidate for comeback player of the year. Although I got to tell you, I have a little hard time with that one because, you know, by all accounts, when the Braves traded Matt Kemp to the Dodgers had no expectation that Kemp would contribute because he was so overweight. And then during the offseason, he lost 40 pounds. Do you want to give the Comeback Player of the Year award to someone who, you know, wasn't coming back from major surgery or some terrible thing, or, you know, he'd been out of baseball for a couple of years, but somebody making $20 million a year who got in shape? I feel kind of weird about that. I don't know about you guys.
You get in L.A., man. You got to look good, right?
Right.
Buster, only presented each week by Ernest McCarty Ford, just off Highway 31 in Alabaster. Always online at ErnestMcCarty.com. I was watching the Braves National Series where the Braves took 3 out of 4 from my Nats, and I was amazed by this stat that Nick Markakis has the most hits, I think, of any player ever to not be named an All-Star. He's got 2,100 hits. I was fascinated that Markakis has never been an All-Star. He's put up plenty of numbers to do it this year, Buster. It's a heck of a year by Markakis for the Braves, hitting .328. I was just fascinated by that stat. I didn't know he'd never been an All-Star. That's a lot of hits to have never been named in that game.
Yeah, he is the turtle in the turtle in the or tortoise in the tortoise and the hare story in baseball, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every year rolls out 170, 175 hits, unbelievably consistent in his personality and his performance. He's a really highly valued teammate. I know with the Orioles, those guys would talk about how he wouldn't say anything. All he would do is just show up every day and play, and he would play hard, and he would play well. For me, and I really hope that he makes the All-Star team because it would be neat to see his reaction. He might actually smile if he made the All-Star team. The best comp that I've come up with for Markakis in baseball history is a guy, and I know you guys remember this name, Veta Pinson, who played for years with the Cincinnati Reds and wound up his career with, like, 2,800 or 2,900 hits, right? Another guy who would be a comp for me would be Harold Baines, who I covered, who for years was with the White Sox. Similar personality, almost said nothing, and all he did was roll out 180, 200 hits a year.
Buster, we love talking baseball with you, but when we can combine college football, it's even better. Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray has reached a deal with the Oakland Athletics. They say the deal's close to $5 million guaranteed, and they're going to let him play football. Are you surprised that Oakland is actually going to let him out there this fall?
No, I'm not. I'm sure that they, as they did their research, they got an understanding of his commitment to football, his interest in football. They probably have a pretty good understanding about what his first passion, his first love is. But I got to tell you, at some point, people around him, you would assume, are going to say, hey, dude, look, you could do really well in baseball. You could make a lot of money, and with all the studies being done on concussions and that sort of thing, are you crazy? I can't tell you how many baseball players I've talked to through the years who have this great passion for football. Mike Trout is one of those. But at some point during their lifetime, they were like, you know what? If I want to stay in one piece and I want to have my best chance to make money long term, then I should play baseball and walk away from football. That's what Trout did when he was 15. You know, he and his family made the decision. And Mike Trout, if you gave him 2 months of training today, he could play for the Eagles. Like, he's that fast and he's that that great of an athlete. There's no doubt in my mind that he would be able to do that. But that's what I think is going to happen with this kid, that eventually folks around him will say, just focus on baseball.
All right, Buster and all the gang in New York. It's the Subway Series Yankees-Mets, 7 o'clock Central, first pitch on ESPN for that one. However, if there is a Game 3 in the Mississippi State-Vanderbilt Series, it will be going on at the same time. So Buster, if he seems out of sorts and maybe not entirely paying attention to Yankees-Mets, that's why.
You're 100% right. If Alex Rodriguez is like, Buster, I got a question for you, and then you hear pause, nothing, and I don't have anything, that's why. I'll be checking the Vanderbilt score.
Vanderbilt and Mississippi State will be on Buster's mind. Thank you, Buster. Enjoy that game this week.
That sounds great. See you guys.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
All right, buddy, take care. Buster with us.